So, Delbert McClinton, welcome to American Soundways.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, your first band that I'm aware of that you played with in the Fort Worth area was the Straitjackets. Did you play with any other bands before that?
No, but I was always singing, you know. I knew everything on the radio and all that kind of stuff, you know, and it was obvious to my mother that I was obsessed.
At the time when you were playing with the Straitjackets, you backed up some pretty big names like Sonny Boy Williamson and Howlin' Wolf. What were those days like with those folks?
Well, looking back, you know, it was a whole different world as far as music goes and nightlife, and people came out to dance mainly, you know. And the clubs that I played were populated by people who were less than Spartans of the community, you know. I mean, this time, the people you found in bars, period, were a certain kind of people. I mean, the ones that you could go in there at 10 in the morning, they'd be sitting at the bar, you know. But I knew a bunch of outlaws and a bunch of pimps and a bunch of prostitutes. I hate to call them that. Friends of mine. Really, you know, I mean, great people other than, I remember one guy told me once, he said, "I'm a thief and I'm a damn good one." And, you know, I'm trying to compute that with what sense I have at the time, and it didn't compute, but I liked him anyway.
Delbert, are there any artists or songs that stand out in your memory that sort of set the course for the music that you ended up playing?
Around the time of Great Balls of Fire and Baby, What You Want Me to Do with Jimmy Reed.
Mm-hmm.
In that period somewhere was when me and my band, we got turned onto a radio station out of Dallas called KNOK Radio. Played all black music. And that's where I discovered most of those people. When I was young, I heard a lot of Charles Brown and Amos Milburn and the like, you know,
mm-hmm.
of that time, those guys. And I'll never forget the first day that I heard Honest I Do on the radio. I was on the way to rehearsal. I was way over on the southeast side of Fort Worth. I stopped at a red light when that song started on the radio. And when he came down with that first cymbal crash, I just said, "Oh, my God, this is it."
Isn't it amazing how certain songs just speak to you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You've had a very long and distinguished career as a musician. Are you still having fun?
Oh, yeah. You know, this is as good as it gets.
Delbert McClinton had released numerous albums before he hit his big mark in 1980 with the release of The Jealous Kind, which produced the top 40 hit, Giving It Up For Your Love.
Giving it up for your love right now.
Throughout the following years, Delbert continued to tour and play with some of the best musicians in the business. Then in 1991, he hit it big again with his good friend Bonnie Raitt with the duet Good Man, Good Woman, resulting in a Grammy.
But I'm gonna suffer through the spring till I get over.
disrespect and neglect. It was an experience I'll never.
Often described by his peers as a musician's musician, Delbert McClinton personifies Texas rock, soul, R&B, and blues, and he's been doing it for nearly 40 years. Other Fort Worth natives who've made and continue to make valuable contributions to the world of music and the arts in general include singer-songwriter, brother and sister Hugh and Katie Moffitt, musician and actress Betty Buckley from the Broadway musical Cats and 70s sitcom Eight Is Enough, early Donovan collaborator and singer-songwriter Sean Phillips, songwriter, musician, Broadway and television actor and fly fisherman Gary Morse, and early 90s alt-rockers and MTV darlings the Toadies. Sometimes the sign of a great musician is their ability to bring people of different incomes, different colors, and different backgrounds together to share in a common love. In this case, it's the love of the blues. Everything that I've read about Cowtown indicates that bluesman Robert Ely possessed an ability to do just that. Whether it was a bunch of kids from a college frat or some old school blues lovers from T-Bone Walker U. He was a mover and a shaker in the literal sense, and had an uncanny ability to make people believe he was wailing away on a harmonica when in fact it was his powerfully controlled and beautiful voice. As also the club owner of the Bluebird, a famous Fort Worth blues bar, Ely was known to give young blues artists a chance to cut their teeth. Blues artists such as Stevie Ray Vaughan, Coco Montoya, and Stephen Bruton, to name just a few. What do all these names have in common? Ready? Bonnie Raitt, Carly Simon, Lowell George, Bob Dylan, Willie Nelson, T-Bone Burnett, Delbert McClinton, Barbara Streisand, and Kris Kristofferson. The one thing they all have in common is Stephen Bruton, guitarist, songwriter, and producer extraordinaire. Surrounded by music as a child, his father insisted that if he was interested in folk music, then he needed to familiarize himself with where it came from. So he immersed himself in Doc Boggs, Son House, and Robert Johnson recordings. Bruton got his first big break when he was asked to tour with Kris Kristofferson in the early 70s. From there, he went on to tour with Delbert McClinton, and over the next 20 years worked with a list of industry who's who, and still does to this day. Stephen Bruton has since launched a solo recording career, but can still be spotted week in and week out playing sideman to local musicians in and around the Fort Worth area.
Among the most talented and influential producer and musicians in the business is T-Bone Burnett. Born in St. Louis, Missouri, T-Bone grew up in Fort Worth, where he played in several blues bands and eventually opened his own recording studio. The vast musical styles present in the Fort Worth area had an obvious impact on the young producer. T-Bone was quoted once as saying, "More than anything else, though, I'd have to say growing up in Texas was the biggest influence on what I do and how I do it." In the early 70s, Burnett was producing sessions for Fort Worth natives Delbert McClinton and Guy Clark. In 1975, he was invited to tour as a guitarist with Bob Dylan, and then afterwards focused his efforts on a project called the Alpha Band, and then later on solo projects. Over the course of the next couple of decades, Burnett produced classic releases for artists such as Pete Townsend, Ry Cooder, Richard Thompson, Elvis Costello, Los Lobos, Marshall Crenshaw, The Wallflowers, Gillian Welsh, and The Counting Crows. Rolling Stone magazine called T-Bone Burnett the best songwriter in America. At the start of the program, we heard one of the hit songs from the O Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack from the Soggy Bottom Boys. In 2000, T-Bone Burnett produced the multi-platinum-selling, Grammy-winning soundtrack for the Coen Brothers movie, helping to almost single-handedly reinvigorate interest in traditional bluegrass and Appalachian music. One of the more enigmatic bands to come out of the Fort Worth area was Blood Rock. Blood Rock had that classic 70s metal sound of bands like Deep Purple and Uriah Heep, but lyrically set itself apart when it recorded a particular song about dying and having limbs severed called DOA. Supposedly inspired when one of the band members witnessed a friend crash in an airplane accident. What's even more bizarre, the 8-minute song made it into the top 40. It's not often that you hear artists cite as influences Johnny Cash and NWA in the same breath, but musician John Price is exceptional, and so is his music. Here's local Fort Worth artist John Price with the title track to his release, Questionably Red, on American Soundways. Maybe it was appropriate that the next artist was discovered by two vacuum cleaner salesmen. When I first listened to the legendary Stardust Cowboy, I had flashbacks of the first time I heard My Pal Foot Foot by the Shags. Genius to some, complete chaos to others, and there is no in-between. Born in Lubbock, Texas as Norman Carl Odom in 1947, the Ledge, as he likes to be called, started singing as a young child and learned to play the harmonica, bugle, drums, kazoo, and guitar, as well as developing his unique singing style. With a love for space travel and the Wild West, Odom eventually adopted the name the Legendary Stardust Cowboy. The Ledge took off from Lubbock and headed to New York in search of stardom. He made it as far as Fort Worth, where he was discovered by a couple of vacuum cleaner salesmen who got him into a studio, and a young producer named T-Bone Burnett recorded this little ditty called Paralyzed.
Howdy, I'm the Legendary Stardust Cowboy, speaking for Bugles. Good old Stardust Bugles.
Mercury Records signed him, and like a bad case of deja vu with DOA, the song hit the charts. From that came an invitation to appear on the TV show Laugh-In, and a cult following was born. David Bowie somehow got a hold of the single and was so enamored with it that he adopted part of the Legendary Stardust Cowboy's name for his own character, Ziggy Stardust. The Ledge, who's now classified in a genre called psychobilly, has recorded a number of albums over the years and continues to entertain his fans to this day. Music plays a huge role in defining the history of a region and echoing the emotions of those who've made significant contributions. Traditional, laid-back, old-school, whatever you want to call it, Fort Worth continues to give back to those who share its love for music. I'd like to thank the fine people of Fort Worth, and a special thanks to Anthony Mariani of Fort Worth Weekly, Delbert McClinton, Billy Williams of the Willie Nelson Band, Data Blueprints, and of course, Colin Herring, The Peach Truck Republic, and John Price. For more information on American Soundways or any of the artists that are featured today, visit www.americansoundways.com. Until next time, I'm Trip Clark for American Soundways. Thanks for caring about what you hear.
I am just a cowboy, lonesome on the trail. Lord, I'm just thinking about a certain female. The nights we spent together, riding on the range. Looking back, it seems so strange.